I think most people understand that sin will harden our heart towards God. But most people don't understand that sin isn't the number one thing that hardens our heart towards God. I think there's a lot more to it than that, and that's what we're talking about today. So stay tuned for the gospel truth.
Welcome to Gospel Truth with Andrew Womack, a teaching ministry emphasizing God's unconditional love and grace. And now, here's Andrew.
Welcome to our Tuesday's broadcast of the Gospel Truth. So I've been talking about two major areas, two major things that causes our heart to become hardened towards God. The first one should be obvious, and that is sin. If you are living a life of rebellion towards God, every time you do that, it doesn't change God's heart towards you, but it adds a layer of insensitivity over your heart towards God. So if you're living in sin, quit it. But then the second thing is so much more subtle, and I don't think most people recognize this, and I've shared a little bit of this on our programs last week. I just want to take that this week and amplify it and go further into this. But to boil it all down, basically, whatever you focus your attention upon, you become sensitive to. Whatever you neglect, you become hardened to. And this doesn't have to be focusing your attention upon something that we call quote-unquote sin. It could just be focusing your attention upon anything. For instance, if we go back to Mark chapter 6, the scripture that the Lord really used to start revealing this teaching about hardness of heart to me on, it was talking about the disciples, and the Lord told them to get into a ship somewhere around sundown and to go unto the other side, and He would meet them on the other side. And they got into the ship around sundown, around 3 to 6 a.m. They were only halfway across that lake, and they were in the midst of a terrible storm, and it looked like they were going to drown. And in the midst of their crisis situation, Jesus came walking unto them upon the water, and it says He made as though He would have passed by them, and they cried out to Him, and He came unto them. The wind ceased, the waves quit their roaring, and immediately the boat and all of the inhabitants were translated to the other side. And when they saw this, they were sore amazed in themselves beyond measure and wondered, is what it said in Mark 6:51. And in verse 52 it says, "For they considered not the miracle of the loaves, for their heart was hardened." The reason they were shocked at what Jesus did, the power that He had to totally dominate and control the situation that was about to kill them, the reason they were so shocked and surprised was because their heart was hardened, and the reason their heart was hardened was because, it says here, they had not considered the miracle of the loaves. And so here's one of the major points that I've been making is, the word consider means to study, ponder, deliberate, examine, or think upon. I believe the scriptural terminology would be meditate. Today we might say something like focus. Whatever is your focus, whatever your attention is focused upon, you become sensitive to. And in this instance, it wasn't that they were reading Playboy magazines. It wasn't that they were in strife, plotting a bank robbery, or doing something that we call quote-unquote sin. You know what it was that had occupied them and had hardened their heart towards God? It was trying to survive in the midst of a storm. These guys were all trained fishermen. They had been taught how to, you know, keep the bow of the boat pointed into the waves so that it doesn't hit the side of the boat and capsize it. They were using that knowledge. I'm sure they had taken the sail down and had, tried to stop the wind from blowing them a certain way. They were probably bailing. They were probably rowing. They were using all of the knowledge that they had learned about fishing and about how to control a boat in heavy waters. And they were using just physical, natural things. It wasn't sin, but they were so intent, so focused on staying alive that hardened their heart towards God. Now, here is a major, major point. And I'm just praying that God will give you understanding that you can get this, because this would really change your life. It is not just sin that hardens your heart towards God. But did you know that just being focused on staying alive, just being focused on everyday living, just being focused on trying to provide a living for your family, being focused on raising your kids and doing all of these things that are good in their place. There's nothing wrong with having this knowledge. There is certainly nothing wrong with these disciples having knowledge about sailing and about how to control themselves in the midst of a storm. You know, if I went out with somebody in a boat, I would want you to have some knowledge about boating so that I wouldn't be out there. I don't want you to take me boating by faith. Amen. I don't want you to drive me in a car by faith. I don't want you to have your eyes closed and say, I'm just letting God guide me about when to put on the brake and when to turn and where to go. No, I want you to use your eyes and use your brain and use some natural things. And I hope that you've learned how to drive defensively and to do things. You know, if I go flying with somebody, I want them to have knowledge about how to fly. I've got a great story on that. I won't take time to share it, but I've been in a plane where a guy, the pilot in a little two-seater plane, got so scared that he curled up in a ball in a fetal position and started screaming, my God, we're going to die, we're going to die. And it was only a two-seater plane. And so that means that while he was curled up in the fetal position crying, I was flying the plane. I have never flown a plane. I flew over Alamogordo Rifle Range, and they threatened to shoot us down if we didn't get out of restricted airspace. And I had to get on the radio and just say, have mercy on me. The pilot's in a fetal position. I don't know how to fly a plane. And they never did respond. They were probably laughing so hard, or I don't know what was going on, but they never did come back. They never did shoot me down. I had to fly the plane for over an hour while the pilots curled up in a fetal position. You know what? I don't like that. And from that time on, I check out the pilot before I get into a plane with somebody. If you're going to go fly in a plane, I want you to have some physical knowledge about it. There is nothing wrong with that. There is nothing wrong with these disciples having this natural physical knowledge. We need some of that. But every one of us are going to encounter times when all of the natural knowledge is not going to be enough. There's going to be times, you know, you need to learn how to take care of yourself. You need to keep your weight down. You need to exercise. You need to eat right. You need to do healthy things. There are physical, natural things that you need to do. But every person is going to encounter sometime in their life a situation that just physical, natural things won't fix it. There's going to be something that you will encounter where a doctor will not be able to meet your need, and surgery or pills, medication won't meet it. And when that happens, you had better be able to go beyond the physical, natural things that can be done, and you had better be able to get into the spiritual realm. And if you're understanding what I'm saying, here is one of the things that hinders us in our relationship with God, causes us to have a hardness of heart. And that's just a preoccupation with the natural, physical world. Now again, we have to have some occupation with it. You can't function just totally in the spiritual realm. You have to know how to drive a car, how to sail a boat, how to fly a plane if you're going to be doing those things. We have to educate our mind, and we have to learn some things to be able to function in this natural world. And there is a place for that. But with most people, it is way out of balance. Most of us are putting so much of our effort, so much of our time into physical, natural things that we are, by neglect, becoming insensitive towards God. Whatever you focus your attention upon, you become sensitive to or dominated by. Whatever you fail to focus your attention upon, you become insensitive to or you are not dominated by that. And this is where a tremendous amount of Christians are. There's a lot of Christians that have recognized that out-and-out sin will harden your heart towards God, and so they've left off some of those things. They've quit their doping, their drinking, their adultery, and things like this. They wouldn't go out and sin because whether they use this terminology or not, they just know that sin is going to hurt them in their relationship with God. Not from God's standpoint, but from our standpoint, it'll harden our heart, take away our confidence, and so they don't go live in sin. But then there's a lot of Christians that, I mean, they've cut out the major big sins, but they are still just saturating themselves in nothing but the natural world. Now, see, this is harder to deal with. It's like, for instance, when it comes to dieting, keeping your weight down. You know, it would be wonderful if we could just say, you know what, I'm fat, and so I'm just never going to eat again. And I just swear off of it. I renounce food completely. And if somehow or another you could still live and do that, well, then that would be easier than saying, well, I've got to eat, but I've got to eat in moderation. I better control myself. I don't know if you're seeing the difference here. Let me give you an illustration. When in 1976, it's a long story, but my wife and I had come out of severe poverty. And one of the things that I longed for during those days of poverty was to have a Coke. And I mean, that's what my preference of sodas was a Coke. And we were so poor for so many years, I went years without having a Coke. And some of you may think, well, that's an exaggeration, but you just don't know how bad it was. I went years without drinking a Coke. And when we finally began to prosper to the degree that I could buy sodas again, man, I was hooked on Coke. And it was more than just the physical things. It was the psychological addiction. To me, that was like prosperity. I'm beginning to prosper. I can go buy a soda if I want to. And it got to where I was drinking 2-liter bottles of Coke a day. And if it wasn't Coke, I couldn't drink Pepsi, I couldn't drink anything else. It had to be a Coke. And anyway, I was praying one night for an alcoholic. He wasn't there. I was just interceding for him. And I was praying and saying, God, I just don't understand how people can be addicted to things like this. And I was talking about all this, and the Lord spoke to me and said, you're a Coke-aholic. And all of a sudden I saw it. And you know the way I responded to that? I just swore I'd never drink another Coke in my life if my life depended on it. That was in 1976. I have never had another Coke since then. I swore off of it. Now, I drink other sodas. I'm not saying that I didn't do it for health reasons or anything. It was the fact that I was addicted to it. I was psychologically addicted to it, and I just swore I'd never do it again. Well, did you know it's worked to a degree? But it would have really been better if I would have just done it in moderation. That would have actually have been a greater discipline on my flesh than to just totally take it away. See, I can't do that with food. And because of it, I've had some weight problems. And just recently, the Lord has spoken some things to me. Anyway, I've got a lot more to share on this, but I'm out of time today. We're going to have to continue this on my program tomorrow, so I encourage you to listen in. And also listen as our announcer gives you this information about how you can receive this new series on the hardness of heart.
Be sure to tune in again as Andrew continues to teach on hardness of heart. Andrew's classic teaching is available as a 4-part CD series or as a book. Request album R1003 or book number R303 when you make a donation of any amount to Andrew Womack Ministries. The 3rd CD in this album is also available for a donation of any amount. However, for those who are not able to give, Andrew and his partners will provide this single teaching free of charge. All you need to do is request TK58B, titled The Cause Part 2, when you write or call, and we'll be pleased to send it to you. Our address is P.O. Box 3333, Colorado Springs 80934, or call 719-635-1111. Again, that's 719-635-1111, or go to our website at any hour at www.awmi.net.
It's our premier event of the year, the 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference in Colorado Springs, Colorado. Join us Monday, June 28th through Friday, July 2nd at the beautiful Crown Plaza Hotel for an experience you'll never forget. Morning speakers include Karis Bible College instructors, and Andrew Womack will be teaching each evening. Praise and worship with Charlie and Jill LeBlanc, a full children's ministry, and so much more. Bring the family and enjoy Colorado. It's a wonderful opportunity to take the Colorado vacation you've always wanted. For reservations and more info, log on to awmi.net and click on Meetings. The 2010 Summer Family Bible Conference, June 28th through July 2nd. Change your life. Change the world.